This is Here and Now. To most of us, Ruth Reichel is best known as the former restaurant reviewer for the New York Times, former editor-in-chief at Gourmet Magazine, and for memoirs including Tender at the Bone. But now she's getting into the world of fiction. Her new book, Delicious, features Billy, a young woman who drops out of college to head to New York and work at a food magazine. Billy also discovers the New York food scene, including a phenomenal chocolate maker.
I stood hypnotized by the scent and the grace of her motions, which were more beautiful than any ballet. Moving constantly, she caressed the chocolate like a lover, folding it over and over on a slab of white marble, working it to get the texture right. She stopped to feed me a chocolate sprinkled with salt, which had the fierce flavor of the ocean, and another with the resonant intensity of toasted saffron. One chocolate tasted like rain, another of the desert. I tried tracking the flavors, pulling them apart to see how she had done it, but like a magician, she had hidden her tricks. Each time I followed the trail, it vanished, and after a while, I just gave up and allowed the flavors to seduce me.
Ruth Reichel reading from Delicious, and Ruth Reichel joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here.
How much of this was your story?
Oh, none of it. Really not. I mean, my whole idea was to, you know, after when I was the restaurant critic of the New York Times, I wore these disguises and I loved inhabiting someone else. And it was kind of a practice for writing fiction. And when I really wanted to feel like what it was like to be someone else. So my character, Billy Breslin, is a 21-year-old who is really nothing like me except that she really loves to cook.
And she works at a magazine about food.
Yes, but she is not the editor of the magazine.
That's true.
And she's new to New York. And I wanted to feel, what is it like to be 21 years old, new to New York? And what is it like to come into a magazine? I think of food magazines as very nurturing places. And in that, I mean, certainly the setting is very much like Gourmet.
Hmm. One of the most wonderful parts, though, about reading this book was all of the descriptions of the food, which makes me very hungry as I read it. But I wonder, when you wrote that, did you actually have to make and eat these things to describe them the way that you do, or were they things that you had before?
Look, writing about food is my default. I see the world food first, and most of the food in here is food that I have tasted. The gingerbread, which is sort of central to the whole thing, is I wanted to imagine the most. I mean, that was a little backwards because I imagined the most fantastic gingerbread I could think of, and then I actually had to create it.
Hmm.
But most of these things are actually flavors that I know.
And did you ever get hungry while you were writing it?
Yes. I mean, my whole idea is to try and make people hungry, try and make people taste these things. But this is not a food book. I mean, this is really a coming-of-age book of someone who, like me, does see the world food first.
Well, how was it to write fiction?
I loved writing fiction. I mean, once I found the character or the characters and knew who they were and knew their backstories, I went into my studio every day thinking, what's going to happen to Billy today?
Hmm.
And my husband keeps telling me to stop mystifying this. But, I mean, for me, it really is like I didn't know what
From the outset, you had no idea what was going to happen in the story.
No. And, in fact, very different things happened than what I expected to happen. Characters who I thought, I started with some people I had worked with at the magazine. And they then demanded to become themselves. So there's this very mean woman, Maggie, who runs the kitchen.
Right.
We did not have a mean person at Gourmet. We certainly had no one like Maggie.
But were you basing that on somebody that you knew?
I started out with her being this benign. I mean, my favorite cook at Gourmet was named Maggie, and I actually had to apologize to her the other day. You know, I'm so sorry. That's really not you. You know, and then I did know James Beard when he was alive. So, you know, putting him in as a character seemed obvious. I mean, you actually never hear from him, but he looms very large in this book.
There's also a lot of writing about eating during times of rationing during World War II, and I wonder where that came from. Why did you decide to put that in?
Well, World War II really fascinated me because it's the only time that everybody in this country sat down at the same table, because eating on rations was your patriotic duty. And I found in a used bookstore a whole pile of Department of Agriculture recipes from World War II. And I was fascinated because the recipes are terrible. I mean, these things that the Department of Agriculture sent out were so bad that I sort of imagined this little girl, Lulu, trying to, you know, her dad's in the war. She's trying to cook. She's 12 years old. And the first thing she makes is a real recipe I found in one of these pamphlets called liver gems, which was like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Well, and there's milkweed and pumpkin leaves and things like that as well.
Well, milkweed is actually delicious. I mean, I took a foraging class to write this book.
Really?
Yeah. And milkweed is actually, it's, you can eat milkweed in all of its forms as the little sprouts that are coming up. They're kind of like asparagus, and the floss does taste like cheese, and it's wonderful stuff.
Well, I know that monarch butterflies love it.
Yes, and there's a reason.
One of the things you're famous for, and you brought it up, was dressing up to go when you were the New York Times food critic. When you would go to restaurants, you would dress up so that you would be treated just like anybody else. Now that you're not doing that, do you still get the Ruth Reichel treatment when you go to a restaurant, or do they treat you just like everybody else?
No, I have to say, I mostly get, if they recognize me, I mostly get the Ruth Reichel treatment. And I have to say that I feel like, you know, after writing about food for 45 years, maybe I've earned it.
You've earned it. All right, quick lightning round here. What do you think is the best restaurant in America right now?
I really love Blue Hill at Stone Barns. I love what Dan Barber is doing there. I love the reach of that restaurant.
How often do you go out to eat?
I realized when Gourmet closed, it was the first time in 35 years I didn't have an expense account. So I go out on my own dime now, and not that, I mean, I cook a lot, and I tend not to go to very expensive restaurants.
What is your go-to quick fix meal at home?
Without any question, spaghetti carbonara.
Really?
I always have dry pasta, bacon, eggs, and Parmesan cheese. And you can make it in basically the time it takes to boil the pasta. It's really delicious. It's satisfying.
Anything with bacon is satisfying.
Well, that's true. And anything with Parmesan cheese is
also. Yeah, that's true, too.
And eggs.
And egg.
And pasta.
I mean, when was the last time you ate fast food?
I really don't eat fast food.
Even like at an airport sometime. You're there at 6 in the morning and there's nothing else open.
My husband loves to go to McDonald's, and he loves to, like, bring it home and sort of shake it in my face. Ha, ha, ha. I don't find any pleasure. I mean, I don't like the way they smell, fast food joints. The sort of grab-it-and-go culture really annoys me. I mean, to me, eating is about, you know, sitting down with your friends and having a nice meal. So if I'm in that place, I'll probably just have a bowl of cereal.
Ruth Reichel, her new fiction book is called Delicious. Thank you so much for coming in.
This has really been fun. Thanks.
And I feel bad, Robin, that my go-to quick fix meal at home is not as wonderful as what she just brought up. But I have a tomato and avocado salad like almost every other day, I would say.
Oh, good
it's
for you.
It's delicious. No. Well, along with other things.
Those of us trying to eat well. Meanwhile, I'm writing down Blue Hill at Stone Barns in New York.
Yeah, well, just start saving your pennies, because that's not a cheap one. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.